Welcome, everyone, to episode 383 of Signals from Mars. This is our May albums review. This is where Jeremy Weltman and myself discuss new releases from the month of May 2024 that stood out to us as things that were memorable, things that could make our year-end list, things to help the lazy listener check out some new music.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
These episodes are so much fun to do because Jeremy and I sit back and discuss various albums that we've enjoyed. And there are some months that are tough. I mentioned this during the episode, so I kind of don't want to repeat myself. But yeah, there are some months like April. April was difficult. Some weeks there just was nothing there, you know. So to have a month like May, they had so many really, really good things to listen to. A lot of things that meander between different styles of hard rock and metal. It was just so cool because there are so many different things that you can be turned on to. So many different things that I could help turn you guys on to when it comes to music. Jeremy and myself turn you guys on to. How about that? Because I try to approach this in a different way. I try to not overlap with Jeremy. Yeah, there are some things that I check out because it's bigger name things, and I want to give you my opinion as well. And also, I try to search out things that are kind of different. We don't all like the same things, and I think it just helps make the show, make our playlist, make everything better if we're able to expand what we're both listening to. I'm scheduling a bunch of different shows with patrons, with other people in the coming weeks. And so there are going to be a few shows where you're going to be hearing things that are going to be pre-recorded. Not only interviews, but other subjects. I hope that what I have in store for you guys for this summer will be something that you guys enjoy, will be something that will cultivate music discussion with you, with your friends. I understand that Patreon isn't for everyone. I do want to send a shout out to my patrons. I will name them all in a second. But I don't think it hurts anyone to go out and share the episodes, talk about the subject matter that we're discussing. That's what these shows are all about. So thank you for listening. And real quickly here, I just want to thank my patrons. You can get into Patreon for as little as $2 a month. You could also do a PayPal donation or pick up merch. But anyway, real quickly here, thank you goes out to Sean Richmond, Chris Sinzak of Despo Geek Podcast, Tony Espin, Anthony Mackey, Ed Ferguson, Johan Edistrom, Metal Dan, Jose in Connecticut, Chris Vaglio from the Song Swap Showdown podcast, the metal dentist Gabriel, Dr. Poison himself, Brad Dahl from YargMetal.com, our Mike Jones, who just celebrated a birthday. Happy birthday, sir. Mr. Jeremy Weltman, who is featured on this episode, Steve Hoker, and Steven Saylor. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I know a lot of big name shows have started saying this, but I've been saying this for a while. I do appreciate all the support. I do appreciate anyone that listens to this. And I understand that there are a million other things you can be doing right now. Other shows you can be listening to, other things you could be watching. But to choose to spend some time with me, and in this case with Jeremy, and I appreciate that 1,000,000%. All right. Thank you so much. And this is a fun one. There's a lot of music. Hopefully it's going to put a dent in some people's wallets as you guys support some of these bands. Thanks again. And here we go. Let's get on with the episode. Welcome, everyone, to the June 7th edition of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor. Joining me is Jeremy. How are you, sir?
Yeah, hi, Victor. Doing well, thanks. As you can see, it's fairly sunny here, still in the UK. Don't know if you can still hear me because it's gone all black at my end.
Oh, it has. Okay. Yeah, I can hear you perfectly. It is, just so you guys know, it is 10:45 at night on my end. There's still some sunlight out, but not as much as on Jeremy's end. He is an hour behind me. We're going to talk about new releases from May 2024. And the first thing I have to say is, man, what a month for music. There was a lot of good music that came out this month. And although maybe there were stronger releases that came out earlier this year, probably top to bottom, this may be the most stacked month when it comes to music, because there's just so much of it. And as you pointed out to me off the air, there are 5 weeks worth of music to discuss here. So it's interesting because in April, I feel like maybe it was kind of a lull where some weeks just really didn't have stuff that really jumped out. And this, every week, I think, has something that really stands out. So it really made me want to listen to more and more, and until I kind of ran out of time getting ready for this show. So, all right. So May 3rd, it's interesting because we're going to run into holidays in Europe and in the US, which is going to give us some shorter weeks for releases. May 3rd was one of them, where we had new albums from Sound of Thunder, FM, Doth, Gershwanz, Frank Turner, Goth Minister, POD, Wheel, Keith Wallen, Broom, and Speed Limit. We had a reissue from Imperial Triumphant and compilations from Mob Rules, Celebration Day, 30 years of Mob Rules. That's an interesting title for me because a lot of bands would have given you Mob Rules Greatest Hits, and you would think, well, you know, where are the hits? Or you get a band that has Volume 1, and it's like, wait a second. You know, by saying Volume 1, it makes you think that there may be more volumes coming.
Yeah.
Anyway, what stood out for you this first week?
Yeah, so I began the month listening to the Charismatic Leaders album by the prog metal band Wheel from Finland. Quite a short 7-track offering, that one. I admit I kind of knew nothing about them before, to be honest, but I quite enjoyed it. This is their third album, apparently, and since they sort of started in 2017, and overall, you know, I thought it was a fairly powerful album. Yeah, I think you need to sort of think sort of it's evergrey in parts, but with a sort of nice, rich sound, lots of melody, very good production on it, very clear sound. The only drawback is that these kind of songs can kind of overstay their welcome a bit, and that's true, I think, on the 9.5 minutes track Submission. As it is on the follow-up Saboteur, racking up another 9 minutes. So I tossed that one aside a little. It's not my album of the week. I followed that with Thunderhood by Sons of Thunder, very much a tongue-in-cheek AC/DC copyist band that had nothing to do with the 1970s Christian band with the same name. There isn't much available about this band, although I did discover they hail from Italy, which explains the accent on the vocals. Of course, you're going to get great riffs, sort of, you know, great AC/DC style riffs, but it isn't quite matched by the lyrics, which are quite laughable at times, I think. There's even a song entitled, wait for it, I Don't Piss From My Knees.
Wow, there you go.
Just take that in for a second. I'll say it again. The song is titled, I Don't Piss From My Knees.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll move on to the sensible world of soft, radio-friendly AOR, which was the new album from the British Stalwarts FM. They're always quite a really good live act, I think, and becoming a bit of an institution, a bit like Thunder. Old Habits Die Hard is their band's 14th album now, the studio album, since they came out in 1986 with Indiscreet, as well as sort of reforming in 2010 after a 15-year break. This won't appeal to the metalheads, of course. It's soft rock for aging adults who are about to sort of rustle up a cocoa van for dinner. But turn it up loud on a summer's evening and you really start to understand, well, I do anyway, why FM are a cut above Bon Jovi and other, you know, other sort of poppier acts out there. I think vocalist Steve Overland is losing none of his appeal, really, as he ages. And, you know, they write decent songs. And in what was, I think, you know, a lean week to start with, it's definitely my choice.
Well, just so you know, FM will be on their 40th anniversary tour about 20 minutes from my home.
Whoa, there you go. But are you tempted, Victor? Because we know this, it might not appeal to you, this kind of rock music.
Right. See, so that's the thing. They were advertising their show during the Marky Ramone's Blitzkrieg show that we went to. Mm. And the first person that came to mind was you.
Yeah.
When I saw that being advertised. So, you know, I don't know. That's the thing. You know, they're really not something that I would go out of my way to see, but playing so close to home, if the ticket's right, maybe. Gunn played not that long ago. Same venue.
Yeah.
But they were asking like 40 euros ahead. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of steep for a band that I like two songs from.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
So we sidestepped it. I know that people loved it, but just kind of wasn't my thing. One of the things that me and Jeremy do when we do these shows is that we do keep a list of what we've been listening to. So I purposely try to listen to different things so that there's more to offer you guys with these shows. There's going to be things that we're going to overlap with during this episode. But for example, I listened to three different albums this week. Earlier today, I was listening to Undefeated by Frank Turner, which is something that sounds, if you're into Flogging Molly, there's some aspects of that, like Irish punk or however you want, Irish folk punk, however you want to classify that. There are other things that are straight up a little bit more commercial on there as well. So it's not terribly bad. It's not something that I would probably listen to more than a few times. The Norwegian act Goth Minister, who tend to have a song or two on each album that I enjoy. The name of the album is Pandemonium 2, Battle of the Underworlds. This is probably their weakest of their last few albums. I have to give it a few more listens to. There really hasn't been a track that's jumped out at me like some of the other ones right away. My pick of this week, though, is POD, Payable on Death with Veritas, a band that, man, I loved early on in their career, but there's been a big stretch there where they've just haven't done it for me. This is probably their best album that they've released in 20 years. It's shorter than some of their other albums that they've released in recent memory, but I think they've been good with kind of cutting off some of the fat and giving you more or less what you want from them. There's some cool duets and special appearances. For example, Randy Blythe of Lamb of God appears on a track, and it's heavier than what I expected. So I really enjoy it. It's my pick for May the 3rd. All right, May the 10th. A lot of different things that have come out as well. There's a new album from Warlord, Sebastian Bach, Annette Olsen, former lead singer of Nightwish, A Crown Shift, Knocked Loose, Power Man 5000, 6 Feet Under, Sonic Universe, The Tangent, For One, The Treatment, Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats, Unleash the Archers, Stretch Armstrong, Like Moths to Flames, Belushi Speedball, Caldwell, and Big Special. EPs from, and this is seems to be a split from Lanzerath and Shroud of Despondency. All right. Compilations, something I'm very envious about Jeremy having. It is Black Sabbath Anno Domini, 1989 through 1995 box set with all of the IRS records. See, they're calling it the Tony Martin stuff or the Tony Martin years, but it is missing the Eternal Idol, and it's because the Eternal Idol was on Warner Brothers and everything else is on IRS. The Eternal Idol was just re-released a few years ago, so they decided not to push for having that included in this release, and that makes sense to me. I already have the Eternal Idol, so it would kind of annoy me that the price would go up a little just to have that included again anyway. So, Jeremy, what did you listen to during this week?
Yeah, so I began the week listening to Wake Up the Neighborhood by The Treatment. This is a band from Cambridge in the UK, which I was amazed to find out have actually been active now for 16 years, which I didn't realize. Wow. I mean, I really liked them when they broke out on the scene in the first place. You know, they've got nice hard riffs, melodic tunes, good old sort of classic rock. And to be fair, you know, that's the sort of the template here too, on which is their sixth studio album. But, you know, I was left pretty empty by this release. I thought the band didn't really listen back to many of the songs, which, you know, if I'm brutally honest, they were somewhat boring, you know, sort of paint by numbers rock and roll, which is a real shame. I felt they could have done better with that one. So that led me on to two albums which were really sort of vying for album of the week. The first didn't quite make it, but it was really, really good nevertheless. It's Child Within the Man by the former Skid Row frontman Sebastian Bach. This is what I really wanted to hear from him, to be honest. It's great sounding hard rock. It's a man who's still putting real energy into his vocal delivery. You know, we got a good taste of this from the sort of couple of tracks that you posted on the Patreon group, which, by the way, is only a couple of pounds, dollars or euros, folks. So you get to hear all the latest music and more. So please join. Advert over. I have to say the quality on this is really kept up throughout. I mean, it's a really good album. It's really heavy. It's very melodic. It's definitely one that I've put on repeat. And although it's only May, I'm going to hedge my bets here. I'm going to say this is a very worthy contender for my end of year top 10. So a really good album. I really recommend everybody listen to it. Listen to it all the way through. It's a good hard rocking album, that. But talking of the top 10 for the year, this week's choice, which I've gone for, has actually gone into my top three for the year, and I'll be very, very surprised if it gets kicked out. I've backed it up by purchasing a copy, so I've, you know, put my money where my mouth is. It's the new project called Sonic Universe from the Living Colour vocalist Corey Glover and the Adrenaline Mob guitarist Michael Lando. The album's actually called It Is What It Is. It's basically a sort of rockier version of Living Colour. It's heavy funk. It's very good. So it's laden with hooks, sort of testosterone-fueled axe playing. I mean, I really wondered if there was, you know, a bit of a rivalry building here between Orlando and Nuno Bettencourt to play the very fastest, craziest guitar solos. Because if you listen to some of the tracks on it, there's some really crazy playing on there. But that aside, you know, it's really good. Glover's vocals haven't aged at all. Really suited to this type of music as well. Every one of the 10 songs is really expertly crafted. We're taken on a real journey with this one, that real craftsmanship on offer here. Orlando's brilliant. Glover's brilliant. It's I'd call it musical expertise. I'm really raving about this album. It's a really richly rewarding listen. And, of course, it's my album of the week.
Oh, man, this is going to be one of these times this year where we're going to have differing opinions on an album.
Right. Okay. That's great. Right.
So, okay. So let me handle this this way. Sebastian Bach, I listened to The Child Within the Man, one of the ones where we overlap on. I thought that the album was good, but kind of towards the end, it got kind of too formulaic, kind of too, like, nothing new. And that's not a bad thing, because you're getting probably exactly what you want, but I wanted something a little more. Like, you look at someone like a Stephen Piercy with his last few albums. Sure, he's not doing anything really out of his wheelhouse, but every album has like four or five songs where you think, yeah, that's going in my playlist. No, that's going to be one of those songs that I'm going to remember this year by. You know, one of those things. And although the songs are good, I can't find, to me, it just kind of didn't sit that way with me. What else did I listen to here? Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats. This is, the album is Nell'Ora Blu. If you're Italian, you'll understand a lot of this album because it's a lot of, it's 19 tracks, a lot of instrumental music. I recall there being only one track with actual vocals. There are interludes with people speaking Italian. So that's why I bring up the Italian aspect. Unleash the Archers, Fantoma. I listened to that. Solid release. It's really much on par with what to expect from that band. Sonic Universe, for me, was a letdown. Why?
No. Go on. Yeah, I'm interested.
Because what label is this on? This is on Ear Music. Okay. This felt like a Frontiers project where, to me, where somebody paid Corey Glover and said, okay, we can't get Living Color, but I want you to make a Living Color album. Mike Orlando does the Vernon Reid part excellently, but there's just something missing that just doesn't quite get it to Living Color level for me. And I kept thinking about the Ultraphonic album that Corey Glover did with George Lynch, where Corey's vocals are excellent on this. But again, it's, I listen to this and I instantly want to turn on Living Color.
Right. Because okay.
It's almost like when Rob Halford and Judas Priest are separate, and it made you, with some of his release, some of his solo releases made me want to listen to that. Also made me want to listen to Priest. But there are other albums that made me want to listen to older Priest because it just didn't reach where I wanted it to go. That Second Fight album, for example. This is kind of the same thing for me, where Sonic Universe just makes me want a new Living Color album is what it does. That's just my strange taste. And I'm not going to dissuade anyone from listening to Jeremy's opinion and checking the album out. And then they can decide what they think about it themselves. My selection for this week is similar to what I said with the POV for the previous month. It is Power Man 5000 with Abandoned Ship. Power Man 5000, when they're on, they're great. For me, I love them. I love their mix of riffs and industrial hard rock and metal and melodies. And it just does it for me. And again, this is probably their best album since the late 90s, only because it's, you know, you can listen to it front to back and each song is good, as opposed to there just being one or two tracks that are great and then everything else is just kind of just there. So cool. All right. So real quickly here, your take on the Black Sabbath box set. Have you gotten a chance to listen to it yet?
No, because it hasn't arrived yet. I ordered it from one of the biggest online retailers in the universe, and of course they tell me it's going to come either between now and early July, so wow. So I'm going to wait around for it, but you know, who cares? I got it at a decent price for the vinyl, and I've tried to avoid listening to it online as well until I get it, because I want to, you know, put the records on and give them a good spin. So
it's not on Apple Music, so I haven't been able to listen to it yet.
Okay.
I know it's on Spotify, but I haven't looked for it.
Yeah.
So the price that you sent me was for the vinyl?
It was. That was for the vinyl, and that was free delivery.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's really good, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know whether that's because there's a delay on it or because we're in the UK, you know, and it's a British sort of release. Maybe that.
Could be.
But yeah, we're doing well with that, because I thought that was pretty good. Just to tell the viewers, it was $89.99, which I paid for it. I think that's the cheapest you can get the vinyl anywhere.
That's the cheapest price that I've seen it on the mainland in Europe. It's 120 euros, which I don't know with the exchange.
I think it'd be more in pounds, definitely more than 90 pounds, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Let me see.
Yeah.
Just to bore people, let's see what the exchange rate is.
Okay.
120 euros is 102 pounds.
Yeah.
So let's flip this around. You paid roughly 90.
Yeah.
So it is 105 euros.
There you go. Yeah.
What is 21% on that?
And great to get it free delivery as well. I mean, I didn't have to be a member of this international organization, which we all know about, and I'm not going to give them out free advertising.
Yeah.
but I'm not a PRIME member. But I was pleased with, you know, you don't have to pay for the packaging as well, for the delivery. So yeah.
Well, from that same service here, it's listed as the vinyl not being delivered until July.
Right. Yeah. So they've obviously got some delays on it, but I'm happy with that, because, you know, I don't need to hear it straight away. It's not a new release. It's all old stuff. Right. And, I'm going to be around for a long time, so I'm going to listen to it at my will. So it's fine.
The only thing that I've heard is they released Anno Mundi.
Yeah.
Evil Eye.
Yeah.
And Get a Grip. And I know people are making a big deal out of, oh my God, this sounds so much more like Sabbath to me now, because the guitars are all, the guitars are all the way up in the front. And it's this and it's that. And it's, there was just a misconception with Forbidden, I think, from the start. I've said this many times, that there are songs off of there that had Ronnie James Dio or Ozzy recorded, they'd have been considered classics. So that's just my opinion. Anyway, moving on here. May 17th, we had new albums from Pain, Intervals, Babylon AD, Bat, Cage the Elephant, Cognitive, Combi Christ, Demon, Elvalon, Gate Creeper, Josta, Kerry King, Marty Friedman, Paul Bear, Slash, Zombeast, Suck Brick Kid, Strychnos, Trail of Anguish, Botanist, Freedom. Botanist. It felt like I almost said it like, oh my God, I like Christopher Walken. He's a botanist. I don't know. That's my poor attempt at a Christopher Walken impression. Freedom, Godin, Duft, Ancient Settlers, live albums from Ginger and Shark Island. All right, Jeremy, what was your fancy for this week?
You know, I pray to God that there isn't a month where you actually send me a message to say, I can't do this. You're going to have to read out all the names. I've got a sore throat or something. And, no, and then I've got that job of pronouncing them all. Anyway, this week, I gave the new Slash album the once over. Of course I did. This is his blues offering. He's gone back to having a guest star on every song, much like the eponymous solo he released in 2010, which was a rockier version. This one's called Orgy of the Damned. It has a really good cover on it. Of course, the guitar playing is expert, and the guests all help out in one way or another with the vocals. But for me, there's something very missing from this. Slash, to me, doesn't have the feel of a real blues man, or even a rocker who turns to the blues. I mean, he's no Gary Moore. He's certainly no Buddy Guy or Albert King. It's fine, though. You know, he's Slash, but it's just somewhat soulless for me. And anyone who really gets the blues know it comes from the soul, and it just isn't on this. And I didn't really want to go back to listen to it very much. So in what I would class as a bit of a lean week for me personally, I've opted for the new album by the British stalwarts Demon. It's called Invincible. It's their 14th studio release, but only the second in a decade. And this is a band I remember actually back in the day, 1981. They released Night of the Demon. You know, they were a sort of a melodic old school metal band that on reflection were actually okay. But I probably didn't give them as much time then. They were sort of dealt a bad hand, I guess, by the sort of the rise of the new Wobbum. They lacked the punch of the other bands. But this album sort of follows other, great releases this year from old school British acts, Lionheart, Praying Mantis. And it shows the power of really good songwriting and good production as well. And dare I say, it marks a little bit of a renaissance for sort of UK hard rock that I'm guessing will be capped off by Deep Purple's new album later this year. So I must admit, at first I was put off slightly by the original vocalist Dave Hill's aging voice. It even sounds, and I don't wish this to mean sort of bad on him, but it does sound as if he's had a stroke or something, because he's sort of slurring his words a bit. But I couldn't help turning up the songs like Face the Master and Break the Spell. This was a really enjoyable listen. I really dig this album, and it was a really worthy album of the week.
Okay, I'm going to give you some homework, because there's something that came out this week that I'm surprised you didn't jump on.
Okay.
And I'll mention it in a second.
Okay.
All right. So I listened to I Am Out by Pain. It's okay. Album is kind of samey all the way through. The album Under the Crooked Claw by Bat. It is the side project from a few of the members of Municipal Waste. Not bad. I know that on Patreon, people weren't into the vocals. It is kind of... vocals are somewhere between guttural and Lemmy-ish. the music is pretty cool. Combi Christ released a double album, which is CMBCRST, which is pretty much pronounced Combi Christ. Again, okay, just a bit long for it being a double album. The second album is more or less a instrumental. Let's see, Paul Bear, Mind Burns Alive. I believe this only has 7 tracks and it's close to an hour long. It is what you would expect from Paul Bearer. It's got some pretty interesting stuff on it. The one I posted one of the singles on Patreon and people seemed to enjoy it. It was different than what they expected. If you haven't heard them before, they mix melodies with doomy sludge metal. So it's an interesting mix. You have to be in for the long haul though. Like I said, it's 7 songs, I believe, and it's like 50 some odd minutes. So each track is really long. A lot of instrumentation going on there. I didn't get a chance to listen to the Slash yet, but I think you, based on the singles, you used a specific phrase, no soul. And it's kind of what I got out of it. I'm not the hugest blues guy, but when you hear blues done right, you feel it, as you mentioned. Even with rock bands that do the blues. And this to me is just, I mentioned on Patreon, it's just very homogenized, very overproduced and compressed, and not taking anything away from the musicians. But I think had they produced it in an old feel, it would have gone over better. And there's just some songs that the originals are timeless and there's no reason to cover them. So yeah, there's that. Papa Was a Rolling Stone, for example. Let's see. So there were three excellent albums that came out this week. And they're all three of them are completely different. So I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of them. Jasta and Jasta for All. It is from the team that put together, that has done the last few Jamie Jost albums. They did the Corpse Grinder album and they've done the Dee Snider solo albums. It is Jamie Jost mixing his brand of hardcore metal with thrash metal, and it sounds really cool. So if you're a thrash metal person and want to listen to something different, check this out. I know a lot of people are probably listening to the Kerry King. Sure. Well, we know that Ed Ferguson is listening to that and he's going to give us a review of that shortly. My homework to you, Rome Wasn't Built in a Day by Babylon AD. Babylon AD is a band that kind of came out, got MTV airplay, like Little Caesar, like a few other bands towards the tail end of the original run of Headbangers Ball. I started listening to this, one of the last things that I listened to today, and was thoroughly impressed. If you're looking for something in the vein of LA Guns, Guns N' Roses, dirty, sleazy, hard rock from late 80s, early 90s, check this album out. I'm sure if you listen to this, Jeremy, I mean, I could be wrong here. You could listen to it and say, oh, it's a stinker. But I do think it's worth your while to check out. I think that it's got a lot that you'll probably enjoy.
I'm going to listen to that, definitely.
Yeah. But my album of this week is Heart of Darkness by Zombeast. It's funny because I kept thinking of a comment that Anthony Mackie made when I posted the either the first or second single off of this, because the vocals are very reminiscent of Glenn Danzig's vocals. And he said something to the extent of, oh, okay, he's doing the Danzig thing. He's going to stick with that, huh? And he sticks with it throughout the entire album. This is their first album in over a decade. And I'm into those styles of vocals. I'm into the dark, gothic, over-the-top, heavy or doominess of the album. And I really enjoyed it. I was surprised. I think it's great. I mean, it could end up on my top 10 at the end of the year. I'm that convinced. So, all right. On the 24th of May, this is Memorial Day weekend for a lot of people. And let's see. It's a short week. I had albums from Caspian, Rotting Christ, Summoner Circle, Veil of Nath, I'm assuming that first P is silent, Mortal Wound, Sound and Shape, Terra Maze, Evil Dead, and Night Laser. So there were only a few things that were released, and we overlapped with a bunch of them here. Jeremy, what poison did you pick this week?
I'm going to shock you in a minute, but let's start off with Call Me What You Want by Night Laser, the heavy glam act from Germany. Actually, quite a fun 80s style hair metal offering, this one. Modern production techniques on it, and enjoyed it quite a bit. It seems to be their third album, and if at times it seems sort of old-fashioned, old-school rock, it does have some good hooks. and it keeps you listening throughout. It definitely for sort of fans of Skid Row, Dock and Keel, you know, the sort of thing you're going to get on that. So yeah, that was a fun listen. My second pick was the LA thrash act Evil Dead, their new album called Toxic Grace. If you haven't heard of them before, and I'm sort of appealing here to people who aren't in the US, it's because they've only ever released 4 studio albums, I believe, 2 in the 80s, 2 since reforming, and a second reunion, in fact, that occurred in 2016. No surprises here, really. You just get sort of great traditional riff-heavy thrash. The songwriting, I think, ebbs and flows a little bit. But you know, there's some good elements on here. Good songs like Raising Fresh Hell. I like the closer. It's called Fear Porn. But it doesn't quite extend to the whole album, so I didn't sort of pick that as my album of the week. So I'm really going to shock you, Victor, here. I hope you, whether you are sitting down, I want you to brace yourself, because wait for it. Pro Christou by the Greek black metal purveyors Rotting Christ is my album of the week. let's just take a couple of seconds to take all that in, because it's not a band that I would normally turn to, as you know, but it's very approachable black metal, this one. It's really brooding. It's full of, obviously, the death and religious imagery, of course, but it's not so brutal as to really exclude the mainstream metal crowd, and I think that's really good. You really need to sort of think more of Eamon Amarth than Meshuggah on this one. It's an album that left me satisfied by its sort of imagination and atmosphere. It wasn't, obviously, a week where there wasn't so much sort of classic heavy rock that came out. I could have picked Night Laser, but I didn't. I like this album better. So Rotting Christ really turned me this week.
Okay, cool. So for me, it's actually Evil Dead with Toxic Grace. The band also features Juan Garcia, who in the last few years has been a part of Body Count. And interesting, because the Apple Music closer is a cover of the Killing Joke song Death and Resurrection Show. So it was funny. I got out of practice the other day, and the way that my car radio is, you don't see the act. You just see the name pop up on whatever's on the Bluetooth. And I hear the riff come on, and I start to think, I wasn't listening to Killing Joke before I went to practice. What is this? I'm like, oh shit, it's a cover. Oh, wow. So this is kind of cool. Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I think you summed it up well. Cool thrash album. It ebbs and flows. And if you're a thrash fan, I would recommend you check it out. Cool. The final week of May brought us a lot of releases. We had releases from Bad Omens, Bloodbound, Four Stroke Baron, Hell Butcher, High Desert Queen, Low Lives, Nestor, who Johan is seeing at Sweden Rock, Rhapsody of Fire, Witherfall, Dusk, Adversarial, Carrion Throne, Cobra the Impaler, My Diligence, Clovenhoof, D'Arma, Woodwork, Supermodel Taxidermy, oh, wow. Live albums from Exodus and a compilation from Tear. Again, best of the Napalm Years. Okay. Jeremy, what did you listen to this week?
So you may say hoof, but we say hoof, and it's Cloven Hoof. Yeah. The British band to start the week off, the album Heathen Cross by Cloven Hoof, the new Wobham stalwarts from the West Midlands. They really sort of over-egged their contribution to the genre, I think. You know, nobody really sort of thinks of Cloven Hoof as one of the biggies from that time. But nevertheless, this was a really welcome listen for this particular week. This is their studio album number 9, and it's their third since the 2000s actually began. The last album actually really annoyed me for ripping off bands like Maiden. And that kind of makes a bit of a return here occasionally too, on songs like sort of Darkest Before the Dawn. But I guess there are lots of bands out there sticking to the template. And it also reminds me a little bit of Times of Judas Priest's album. But it's all, you know, fairly fun stuff, to be honest. It's got giant riffs. It's occasionally down-tuned. It's got a very tight rhythm section and solid production. And it's, you know, it's a really good listen. That sort of brings me, excuse me, to... two albums that are vying for first place. The first, which could have been first this week, is Sounds of the Forgotten by Witherfall. I mean, this is a band that, you know, we've talked about previously. In fact, we had it, I think it won Album of the Year last time they released Curse of Autumn. I think it was number one. And yes. This is in my opinion, they seem to go from strength to strength, actually. You've got a very technically gifted band that's really carving out its own sound. They've got some, you know, very rapid prog music, sort of with classical influenced guitar playing and that sort of soaring falsetto vocalist, Joseph Michael. As with the previous release, there's a, you know, good fine mix of music here, very sort of heavier stuff, proggier tracks, and some really fine ballads on it as well. I think you need a lot of time with a full album to sort of take in the majesty of it. It's definitely worth it, though. And it was almost Album of the Week, and I did vibe between this one and the next one. So don't take it, you know, that it's second, because it's probably equal first. But I did give the accolade, rather surprisingly, to an album called At What Cost by the incredibly named supermodel Taxidermy. This is actually a metal thrash hardcore fusion act from Canada. And to my ears, sort of, it's a very appealing mashup of Anthrax and the Beastie Boys. Oh, so wow. It, immediately, I know you're an Anthrax fan, Victor, so I'm guessing you'll kind of dig this. What you get is sort of a melodic, in-your-face, punky rap thrash-based tunes with large doses of social comment, of course, on this sort of type of music, all knitted together with very rhythmic riffs. So it's not all unique, but it does have a sort of super urban edge to it. It's sort of like it's being recorded live on the streets of a rough neighborhood. It's a very engaging album, and I didn't expect it to be Album of the Week, but it is.
Wow, okay. So that's definitely something that I will write down in my homework column for myself. It's funny because going over this list with you, there's definitely a lot of things that stood out to me where I didn't get a chance to listen to, which I will listen to. But for me, I checked out the Four Stroke Baron album, Data Diamond. I would say that if you're a fan of Last Crack, maybe early Faith No More, Mordred, stuff like that, you may want to check this out. Let's see, what else did I listen to here? Cobra the Impaler, if you're into Mastodon, I think they're right up your alley. The Cloven Hoof, I listened to as well. Don't want to offend anyone. The Witherfall, I think you summed it up. I think it's a really good album. It's really along the lines of what we expect from them. So maybe it isn't so much that the album is bad in any way. It's just that there were no surprises with it. Whereas for me, when I listened to the Palm Reader from High Desert Queen, it stood out to me and it surprised me. So that kind of captured my interest this week. It is a great stoner rock, doom metal-y type album with a lot of cool riffs, with a lot of cool melodies. And I do think that it's worth checking out. I've made it a point to mention several albums each week because of what you're saying. You know, there are a lot of things that have been close to a first, you know, a close second, where it was, you know, one nudged out the other one by an eyelash, basically. So yeah, cool. I mean, it definitely gives us a lot of stuff to check out. All of you lazy listeners that come here to check out what we recommend. Quickly here, let's just go over these. On the third, what was your recommendation, Jeremy?
Oh, now you're asking me. I'll have to go back and have a look. I can't remember. May the 3rd, I went for FM.
Oh, okay, that's right. FM, and I went with POD on the 10th.
So that was Sonic Universe for me.
Okay, it was Power Man 5000 Abandoned Ship for me. On the 17th.
Yeah, so I went for Demon, didn't I, in that week? Yeah.
Okay, for me it was Heart of Darkness from Zombiest. On the 24th.
Rotting Christ with Pro Christu.
Okay, I went with Toxic Grace from Evil Dead. And the last week, on the 31st of May.
At What Cost by Supermodel Taxidermy.
And for me, it was Palm Reader by High Desert Queen. Folks, a lot of great music that came out this month. As I mentioned early on in the episode, I think this may be the most stacked month so far in music because there were so many good new albums that were released during this month. So definitely a lot of homework for all you listeners out there. So there's a few topics that we did want to touch upon before wrapping this up. And a little over a week ago, there were rumors that started to come out that Motley Crue may actually not be satisfied with John 5. I've heard other rumors where John 5 wasn't happy with the band, that he wasn't happy with their shenanigans, so on and so forth. And that they've reached out to Mick Mars to come back to the band. This is a rumor. And I know that Chris Aiken from the Classic Metal Show, amongst other shows, he's part of a few different shows, has stressed that he mentioned this on one of his shows and that it's strictly a rumor, but it comes from a reliable source within Motley Crue's camp. Apparently. So I personally think that unless they're not getting offers for shows or not getting the big money that they were before, that I can't see that this being, I can't see the validity of this rumor. That's the only thing that I think would make them want to go back to Mick is that promoters are saying, yeah, you know, John 5 is cool within the band, but we're not selling the same amount of tickets. So we want Mick back. Honestly, I would see them probably go for a DJ Ashba or somebody like that before they would go back to Mick, honestly. You know, someone else that's younger that they're going to have, you know, that they're not going to have the same types of issues that they may have had with Mick. Jeremy, what do you think?
I think you've picked up on probably the main thing there. I think there's another little thing that I'd like to add in. They've just released some new music, Motley Crue, and it's a bit weird. It's a bit non-Motley Crue. And I'm just wondering whether the band are thinking, this isn't quite what we want. You know, this isn't what we're aiming for. And maybe they're thinking, well, Mick comes in and gives us these riffs and, you know, we go back to producing a little bit of the old Motley Crue type output. That's another reason that he might want to be brought back into the fold. I mean, let's face it, Mick's brought out his own album this year and it's, you know, it's pretty decent. Motley Crue's single, do you think that's on the same level? I'm not so sure. I know there's a lot of people who like it, and it's a bit different, which isn't too bad. But, you know, for me, it wasn't Motley Crue. So that's one reason. And I guess I agree with you. I think it's his name, and, you know, he's a guy who sort of links it all together. When I saw them live, you know, he was doing a lot of the donkey work on stage, obviously being the guitarist. And... you know, I just feel that they're a better band with him in. Whether he'll want to do it again, I don't know. I mean, you know, apart from all the illnesses that he's got, you know, with his back and what have you, you know, where he can't necessarily perform on stage regularly, that's a big issue, I think, for him. So we're not dealing with an ordinary guy who's well. Difficult thing. It's probably just a rumor, but hey, there may be something to it.
Yeah, the other thing to consider, too, is that he's come out and said that I believe that outside of New Tattoo, that he really hadn't played on an album beginning to end since the self-titled album with John Corabi. So that means that Generation Swine and Saints of Los Angeles, the Dirt soundtrack, the new songs off of that the majority of that isn't him, that he plays on some of the songs and that's it. So, and I mean, for all accounts with the new stuff off the Dirt, that was already John 5 anyway. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just odd that this soon after the member change that they would go back, but stranger things have happened.
So, yeah, listen, if you don't get on with each other, you know, that's the thing. We sort of, you know, they might be great players, but do they actually get on with each other? Is that sort of, you know, you're on the road together. You've got to get on with the people you're playing with, really.
Here's the other thing to consider. There have been rumors that they've been wanting to get rid of Vince for years. Does Motley Crue sell tickets with just Tommy and Nikki as opposed to Mick coming back and instead them switching singers?
Yeah.
Does that get them more money than just two of them?
Yeah, definitely need... definitely need him back for that sort of situation, I think. And of course, he's not been in it forever, as we know. So
yeah,
they could, you know, play with a different vocalist. They've done it before.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And the last topic here that we wanted to touch upon is we've all been seeing videos of AC/DC playing, for example, the two shows that they played here in Seville, Spain, and you recently got to see an AC/DC cover band. The tickets for the show in Spain were just ridiculous in price. Plus, one of the shows was on a Thursday, the other one on a Saturday. Again, very prohibitive to go and, you know, I don't know, to sit all the way back at the top of a stadium that holds 60 some odd thousand people really isn't appealing to me.
Yeah.
Does seeing a tribute band that probably does the songs better than they do nowadays anyway, does it make sense just to go see that as opposed to shelling out the big bucks, traveling 10 hours by car to see the, excuse me, the actual thing? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think in AC/DC's case, it's a no-brainer now. I agree with you. I nearly pulled the trigger on tickets to go and see them in the UK. And then I thought better of it. I was working out the travel there and everything else that goes with it, and then I paid 25 quid and watched a tribute band. I'll tell you why I think it's no good seeing AC/DC anymore. There's only two members in there. You know, they've basically, you know, we know members are dying and they've left and etc. You're not really seeing an AC/DC that made Back in Black. Yeah, sure, you've got Brian Johnson back. You've got Angus Young, who's, you know, he's looking very old now. Not saying he can't play. Of course he can play. He's Angus Young. He's an absolute hero, and people will go and just see him. But I saw a tribute band, and they were exactly like AC/DC were in their heyday. And I think they sounded better than the real AC/DC. Obviously, the real AC/DC have got, you know, a lot of help, a lot of technical help. It's going to be a great show. They've got all the screens. But why would you pay all that money to see, you know, the old AC/DC as it is now, when you can just go and see a tribute band? And we know how good AC/DC songs are and how they sound great when people play them really well. So it's a no-brainer for me. It's the tribute band all the way.
Yeah, I think you're lucky in the UK where at least the bands are going to the tribute bands are going to have decent vocalists who will sound very similar, whereas here a lot of those vocalists just are not good, where they enunciate close, but they're not pronouncing the actual words. I remember seeing a Michael Schenker tribute being advertised. The musicians were just fantastic. And then I paid attention to the vocalist, and he wasn't enunciating any of the words. He was just doing, he was imitating, you know, English. And it was one of these things where, like, those are like scratch vocals. They're not even like real vocals. He's not pronouncing an actual word. That, I don't know, it just felt like you were getting hoodwinked. I don't know. It's funny. Now it just dawned on me that Chris Chaney isn't in Jane's Addiction right now. And I'm thinking, where's he? Why isn't he part of this new tour? Oh, yeah, he's touring with AC/DC. So there's that.
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky when I saw the tribute band, like you say, because the guy who was doing the Brian Johnson looked like him and sounded like him. And he even sounded as if he was from Newcastle. I don't know if he was putting all that on, but in between the songs, he was talking in a Geordie accent. So he was, to me, I was looking at Brian Johnson. It was just so like him.
So for those ignorant people in the US, like myself, what would the Geordie accent sound like?
A Geordie accent is for like Newcastle, man. Your castle. That's how it sounds. God.
Yeah, if you listen to any AC/DC live album and you listen to Brian Johnson talk, that's more or less outside of his hey. That's more or less what he sounds like. So awesome. This was a blast to do this with you, Jeremy. Hope you guys enjoyed listening to our suggestions. Keep new music alive. Listen to some of these and let us know whether you think we're fools, whether you like some of this stuff, whether you agree with us, or if we missed one, if there's one that we should check out. So on that note, Jeremy, thanks for joining me. And we will catch you next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Thank you for listening to the Signals from Mars podcast. You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.